Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints podcast series on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt. Burkhard, it's great to be back on the mic with you today. I know it has been a couple of weeks since we last spoke. A lot has been going on in the world. I know you've had some exciting personal travel, which we'll get into. So great to be back with you today, Burkhard.
Well, absolutely, Dan. You know, it really reminds me of this quote, which is sometimes attributed to Lenin: there are decades when nothing happens, and then there are weeks when decades seem to happen.
Very true. And I know since we last spoke, Burkhard, I believe you have traveled to Africa, attended various tech conferences, and are currently in Germany, where government elections are due this weekend. So to say you've covered a lot of ground would be an understatement. But could we manage to cover all of these topics, you think, at the speed of light?
Well, let's give it a try. So here are just a few takeaways from the tech conferences and my regular visit to Africa. It really felt like traveling full circle this time around. So let me start with the last tech conferences, where I spoke to Eric Schmidt, former CEO and chairman of Google, and he pointed out persuasively that the real bottleneck in the global race for AI dominance is not computing power, but electrical power. And that's essentially, and we mentioned this in our last call, I believe, that's essentially why the U.S. has declared a national energy emergency, and that's why the global race for AI dominance is equally a global race in renewable energies, energy storage, and broader speaking, the energy transition. It's a massive theme in which rare earth, scarce minerals, are really at the heart of tech-related business strategies as much as the heart of global geopolitics. And I really believe that investors need to fully understand this because it drives a number of investment themes. And it's also no wonder why energy transition leaders like Germany's Siemens Energy, Japan's Hitachi are performing just as well in the stock market as Nvidia or the Magnificent Seven. Now, when I traveled to East Africa in the subsequent week, it felt to me, and I've been going there more than 100 times for the last 20 years. This time around, it felt to me like going full circle because of all these tech conferences before them. And so here's why. The charity which I founded in Uganda 20 years ago, amongst other things, operates a reforestation at its western border. That's about 70 miles away from Goma in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where the fighting between the M23 rebels and the Congolese army and some UN peacekeeping troops are currently taking place. In fact, this fighting's been going on for many years. I've literally been seeing it from where I stay. But this time was different. Good enough, there are two lakes which separate us or where I stay from the fighting. This time it's much fiercer, and it's very clear to see that the regional powers involved in this conflict, Rwanda, the DRC, and to some extent Uganda, all feel emboldened by the recent fluidity in the state of geopolitics and the opportunity to raise their heads, take a big bite. And they all got the note that scarce minerals are suddenly supposed to become very, very valuable. Meanwhile, most of the soldiers in these involved armies are running for the bushes, and the suffering which the M23 rebels impose is really mainly for the civilians in the mining towns, and they can literally walk all the way through if they want to. They will be going to Kinshasa, the capital of Congo, very shortly. And what this conflict illustrates, and so much in front of my eyes, is the vicious cycle of poverty, which really has kept Africa back for decades. Again, this is something investors need to understand about Africa. Bad governance, weak institutions, and lawlessness have been exacerbating the curse of resources, which is especially true in places like the DRC. Africa should really be rich. It could even feed the world. It's got all the resources for that, but the opposite is closer to the truth. In fact, Africa is poor, it lacks capital, governance, and strong institutions, and what's more, it's held back by a renewed 21st century's global scramble for Africa.
Well, Burkhard, that is sobering, some of those takeaways and a very fascinating firsthand assessment of the different sides of our digital economy. I'm curious, though, are there any bright spots or opportunities which you'd want to mention to our listeners as we're currently on the topic of Africa?
Well, of course, there are bright spots, thanks, Ben, and thanks for pointing that out. I'm sorry I got carried away by the others. That's just because of what I've just been seeing. But look, as I said before, I've been traveling to Africa for more than 100 times in the last 20 years or so. I love and I believe in the continent. So here's my 2 cents for Africa investors, and I count myself one too. First, to make money in Africa, you really, really have to have your boots on the ground. For one, there's an enormous demographic and urban growth opportunity. It's second to none. Africa has many great treasures. First and foremost, its people, then its natural resources, the sun and water and plenty of fertile land. But it's been punching below its weight for decades because of the lack of capital, which, of course, is caused by the lack of governance. So the best way to make an impactful investment in Africa is to invest into small and mid-sized family businesses. These usually thrive on fast-moving consumer goods, food, soft drinks, electrical appliances, or agriculture, and some on tourism. They usually keep their business small and simple because big is not beautiful in Africa. It's small and simple. Usually they keep a low profile, they enforce strong governance and very good business principles. I know many such businesses across Africa, east to west, also from the US and Europe, but you know, you don't find them on the African stock exchanges. These are family-run businesses, and if you can invest into one or set one up, go for it. What's more, I do believe that Africa deserves more impact investments. That's what I've been doing for the last 20 years of my life. Investing into education and young people is probably one of the best investments I've made in my life. So that's on the bright side, and my 2 cents worth of investing in Africa.
Burkhard, very inspiring thoughts on investing in Africa, and very glad to hear those thoughts directly from you, knowing your long-standing interests there. Very fascinating. So thank you for sharing some of your personal stories. Now, we cannot complete today's conversation without briefly touching on Germany, Europe's biggest economy, which is going to a pivotal election this Sunday, just a few days away. So what should our clients make of things in Germany at the moment, Burkhard?
Well, let me say a few things, which I think I mentioned here earlier. If the Trump administration perseveres, as they intend to, at lowering prices for oil, gas, and energy, the drill, baby, drill mantra, then look, no country stands to benefit more from that than Germany. That's gone unnoticed among many investors who only hear bad things about Germany. But Germany is mostly geared to the U.S. administration's energy policy, because no country has suffered more from the energy emergency of the last 2 years, Germany. What's been a ruthless catharsis to the German business model in the last 2 to 3 years might finally turn out to be the silver lining and a unique opportunity in the stock market. Its business model is industrially geared, its stock market is cheap, and its company mix is well positioned, as I look at it, to take advantage of the rising new world order. It's not just the energy transition, which I just mentioned. Note that Germany is also the only European country with a highly successful defense unicorn. Note that its Mittelstand, the small and mid-sized companies, are a resilient bunch, more than a thousand hidden global champions. That's the biggest concentration of hidden global champions in the world, who are innovative, lots of patents. And that's why Germany is, for one, a fertile hunting ground for private equity investors. I run into them all the time. And it's why the German DAX index turns out to be the best performing market in the world this year. We've been having a tactical overweight on the German DAX index for a couple of weeks now. That paid off very nicely. And we do have every intention to keep it over and beyond this Sunday's election.
Well, Burkhard, that's truly been an investor's tour around the world, which you delivered in roughly 10 minutes. So that was terrific. Thank you for that. And let's, of course, hope for the best in East Africa, Europe, Germany, and indeed the world. So thank you again, Burkhard, for spending some time today with our listeners, our clients. And I do look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
Well, thank you, Dan. It's the pleasure is always mine, and I look forward to our next catch-up. Very much so. Enjoy the rest of the day, and thank you again.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.